This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gil Dierman and Lakeshore Christian Fellowship in TDK, South Carolina. For more information, visit us online at lakeshorecf.com.
So I want to share this morning out of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, a thought that's been really encouraging, really helpful, and actually really challenging and convicting to my own life. And I'm preaching a little bit this morning out of my own vulnerability and weakness, and believing God's going to use it to help and encourage you. Someone said amen. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. If you brought a Bible, that's awesome. If not, it's not a big deal. All the words on the screen. But you can follow along. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And we'll read this a couple times to really get the thought in our heart. But Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says this, verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to read that one more time and maybe read it with a little more emphasis, pointing a couple things out to help us get our hearts in the scripture before we kind of really peel it apart. Again, starting from verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me," not necessarily to church or to religion or to an Americanized version of what following Jesus looks like on Instagram or Facebook. He says, no, come specifically and personally and intimately, come to me. And he says, "And I will give you rest." He says, "Come to me, all you who labor, all you who labor and are heavy laden, who are tired, who are worn out, who are burned out, who are spinning your wheels, come to me and I will give you rest." Verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And with me, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Camping out and going back to verse 29, he says, "With me, you will find rest for your souls." I'd like to preach this morning from the subject, from the idea, from the topic. If you're taking notes, title of the message, "Rest for Your Soul." Rest for your soul. And I want to preach a message this morning really around this thought that there is a way to follow Jesus. There is a way to pursue and journey and follow the one in whom life is found in such a way that doesn't burn you out, in such a way that doesn't make you tired and stressed out, but it actually brings nourishment and refreshment and rest to your soul. I don't know about you, but one thing that I could use is rest for my soul. Anybody else? I want to preach from this thought, rest for your souls, and I want to pray. I want to ask that God would illuminate the scripture this morning, and then I want to allow the Bible to begin to speak. One more time, would you close your eyes? Can we pray? I know we pray a lot, but I just think we're in church and talking to God's probably a positive thing. And so let's pray one more time. Ask God to illuminate the scripture, and then we'll jump in. God, we're thanking you today, really, for what is an opportunity. We're not here out of obligation or necessity, God. It's an opportunity we have today. David said in Psalm 119, "God, I'm so amazed by you because you actually meet with me and conversate with me through your law." It's an opportunity we have to have a meeting and a conversation through the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. We remind ourselves these are not just words on a page. This is not religious jargon. These are actually living, breathing words with life in them that have the ability to read us while we're reading them. So Holy Spirit, open our eyes and our ears and our heart and change us today. Speak uniquely and individually to all of us in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Rest for your souls. Have you ever internally made a decision before? Like not externally, you didn't tell someone, you didn't put it on Facebook, you didn't Instagram it, but internally, you decided you were going to be different. Has this ever happened to anybody? You recognize a deficit, you recognize an area where you're not doing very well, you recognize a weakness, an area where you could definitely use improvement, and you just decide, you know what? Line in the sand, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to do more. I'm going to be more. Line in the sand. I'm making a change. Has this ever happened to you before? Internal decision to change. My wife and I, we have three children. And our oldest, Evelyn Grace, is almost 4. Our middle child, Brooklyn, she's 2. And Graham, he's almost 3 months, I think, right? Almost 3 months old. Something like that. Before we get to years, the months are kind of blurry, if I'm honest. So he's almost 3 months old. And because my kids are different ages and different stages, I relate to each of my kids differently. Evelyn, she's my buddy. And she's almost 4. She's my little helper. She helps me run errands. Yesterday, we went to PetSmart, and we got dog food and looked at kitty cats. And then I told her, we'll never get a cat because we're Christians. And and we, you know, we do stuff together, raising her up in the ways of God. But like one of my favorite things with Evelyn is in the morning, we get up really early. And we're trying to fix that, by the way. If you have tips, please email me, bdearman@lakeshorecf.com. But she gets up really early, and so we've kind of made it our habit. She'll come downstairs, and I'll be drinking a cup of coffee and reading my Bible, and she'll get in my lap, and we'll just cuddle. And we'll probably take 20 minutes, and we'll cuddle. We'll talk about the day. We'll talk about what you dream about. Normally it's a puppy and how we're going to buy her a puppy. Not factual information, but we talk about it, and then she'll help me make mom coffee, and we kind of have our time in the morning, and so we relate at a certain level. Brooklyn, she's 2 years old. She is Hurricane Florence in our house. She has zero self-awareness. She goes 100 miles an hour, and at 2 right now, honestly, it's all cuddles and tickles and doing everything I can to make her laugh and make her smile. Oh, you should see her little bum. It's so cute. And she's rolly and she's the best. And so we relate a certain way. Graham, my son, almost 3 months old. I love him so much. One day he'll be raised as a man of God and he'll love the Lakers and love to play golf and he's going to be the man. Like all the things I'm imposing upon him. But currently how I relate to my son is pure management. It's pure management. I don't have the things he needs. I don't produce those things. I don't have the things that he wants. And if I'm honest, like I'm just not great with babies. If you're a dad in here and you're great with the baby stage, I applaud you. I think you're amazing. The Bible says be strong in your gift. Definitely not my gift. And so it is it's a struggle if I could be honest. And recently I was running some errands. I was in the car. And I'm pulling out of a parking lot, and I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit. You need to do better. And so right then and there, I'm like, yeah, I need to do better. I need to be a better dad to Graham. I need to try harder. Like, you don't understand. A couple weeks ago, we're trying to settle him, and the words came out of my mouth. Graham, stop acting like a baby. And my wife gave me that look that requires no words, like, are you serious? Like, your helpfulness is 0%. And so I'm like, God, that's like, why would I say that? I am so dumb. What is wrong with my heart? God, heal me. I repent. That's it. I'm going to be a better dad. And I kid you not, the atmosphere in my car went from like kind of discouraged to like, all right, I'm going to do it. And then quickly back to a little bit discouraged because I heard that same voice of the Holy Spirit say, no, you won't. You won't do it. You can't do it. You've had 3 kids now, and at every single child in this stage, you've said, I'm going to do better, be better, and you can't do it. And I knew in my car driving, having this internal conversation, what the Holy Spirit was saying, he was illuminating that I am no match for myself. I'm not. In my own effort, in my own power, in my own ability, I am no match for me. What a frustrating place to be if I'm going to be honest. What a exhausting, tiring place to be if we're going to be honest. To know that I need to do better and be better and to recognize and realize faults and failures and weaknesses and yet be fully aware I'm no match for me. As frustrating and as tiring as this place may be, I think it's actually the emotional place that a lot of us are following Jesus from. I know that God's called me to do more. I know he's called me to be more. And every single Sunday we're worshiping and I'm like, yes, okay, like I'm lying in the sand. I'm going to be better, do better. And it doesn't take very long, does it, to come to the realization I'm no match for me. And who are we kidding? The cycle can only happen for so long before our relationship to following Jesus it's tired. It's worn out. The cycle can be exhausting. I actually have friends who have walked away from following Jesus. So if I'm just going to be honest, part of me still believes and still knows, but I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I'm so sick of realizing that I can't do it. And if you can relate even a little bit to that emotional place, that emotional feeling, can I say this morning, I believe what God would say to you and what God would say to us is that there is a better way to follow Jesus that's actually been provided by Jesus. Matthew 11, 28, it's our scripture this morning. Jesus says something. He says, "Come to me, all you who are tired and weighed down and weary, recognizing you're no match for yourself." He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." The very next verse, he says, this is not just a physical rest. This is just not a week in the Bahamas, a vacation. This is rest for your soul. What would life be like to have a soul that's at rest? What would life look like to have a soul and an emotional place that is at peace and at ease? And in spite of life's challenges and circumstances, that you're at rest, you're at ease, you're at peace. This counterintuitive emotional place that I know what the storm says, but I'm... Let's make it clear this morning. The offer on the table from Jesus is rest. The offer on the table that Jesus would like to provide for you is a rested soul. Now, quickly, we have to define, what does it mean when he says rest? Like when Jesus says, "Come to me and I'm going to give you rest," is he talking about a spiritual vacation where all of a sudden he's given me permission to no longer really have to follow and pursue and walk in the ways and the word? And is that what he's talking about? Like just a vacation from following him? You know, if we're not careful, what we can do is we can begin to interpret scripture through our own opinions, perspectives, and even our own fleshly emotional desires. I think one of the favorite things I've ever heard is someone say that when people say, "Well, you know, my opinion, my perspective, well, you know, how I see it," that it is ridiculous when you think about our singular point of view. You and I, as smart as you are and as many degrees as you have on the wall, we have a singular point of view. You see life from a point. Your perspective is a singular, and we serve a God who transcends time and space, who knows all, who is all in all, who was and is the Alpha and the Omega. And here we are talking about, well, you know, my opinion, well, you know, my perspective. And if we're not careful, what we begin to do is we begin to interpret scripture through our own perspective, our own opinion, and even our own emotional desires and our fleshly desires. And we can come to a conclusion that says, yeah, rest, man. Woo, thank God for Jesus, you know, because I was trying so hard to follow him and please him and, you know, do the things of God. But then I got this revelation, bro. It doesn't even matter because he's like forgiven me and there's grace. And so I just get to, you know, live how I want to live and do what I want to do. But me and the guy upstairs, we're cool, bro, because he's given me. But if scripture interprets scripture, which, by the way, that's the proper way to interpret scripture, is to allow scripture to interpret scripture, because God cannot deny himself. Therefore, he will never say anything that contradicts what he's already said. So the most sure way to interpret scripture is to actually allow scripture to interpret itself. And if we're interpreting scripture, that cannot be what rest means. Explain yourself. Well, I'll give you one thought. And it's not holistic, but it's a singular thought that may help you to understand this. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12. You can write that down. We won't go there. But Proverbs 14:12, it says this: "There is a way that seems right to a man, and its end is death." Think about that. There is a way to you and I that really does seem right. This verse is not saying that it's sinful or evil or someone with an evil heart. No, there are ways in the purity of your God-loving Christian heart that to you seem like the best idea. But because you have a limited perspective and point of view, also there's certain things they seem right. They feel right. I just have a sense, you know, I just feel like this is probably, and they seem right to you, but in the end they lead to death and destruction. Maybe not physical death, but spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, a place that you were doing all these things thinking you were going to find rest in life, and now you're more tired, discouraged, and that's the product of your own ways. Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death. The result of you doing you is not actually you finding happiness. The result of you doing you is actually death and destruction. So real quick, if John 10:10, which it does, by the way, if it says that Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly, and the Bible says my own ways only lead to hurt and pain and heartache, then it's not possible for what Jesus to be saying is, come to me, and I'm going to give you a vacation from following in my ways and my will. Come to me, man. Like, I'm join the grace. It can't be what he's saying. So what is he saying? I'd like to propose to you this morning that what Jesus is saying when he says, come to me, and I will give you rest, that what he is saying is, come to me, and I will give you the gift of my Holy Spirit. I believe what Jesus is saying is, come to me and I will give you rest through the agent, the help, the gift of the Spirit of God that will put wind at your back and allow you to follow him and please him with effortless effort. A couple of scriptures I'd like to read to you. John chapter 14, 15 and 16. We won't read the whole chapters. They're really good though. The whole book's pretty good. You should read it if you get a chance. But John 14, 15, 16, we're going to pick a couple of scriptures out, and I want to show you something. John 14, 15, and 16, these are passages of scripture where Jesus, he's preparing his disciples for his departure. Now keep in mind, these guys, they left everything to follow him. Like more than you and I have had to leave, they left everything. They left families, they've left relationships, they left their source of income, they left everything to follow a man named Jesus. And now he's saying, guys, I'm going to leave. They're not understanding. They're internally freaking out a bit. In John 14, 15, and 16, he's explaining to them that him leaving is actually better because when he leaves, he's going to send them someone. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, I'll read this. Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Hold on real quick. Another helper? Who was the first helper? First helper was Jesus. He said, do you guys see, can you recognize that the reason you've been able to a certain measure follow me and live in my will and live in my ways is because I've been with you. I have been the wind at your back, so to speak. I've been the one who we wake up in the morning and after we eat Frosted Flakes, I'm like, all right, guys, let's go because we got to go to, I've been leading you. I've been directing you. I've been correcting behavior and mindset and patterns. And he was the first helper. He said, but guys, when I leave, I'm going to send to you another helper. Notice, by the way, how Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit as a helper, as an aid, as one who will enable and empower and motivate and lead our life. He says that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him already, for he dwells with you in the person of Jesus and will soon be in you. John 15, 26, I will read these quickly. Jesus says, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. When the helper comes, who I am going to send, when the helper comes, my promise, my guarantee, I'm sending you a helper. John 16, 7, We'll read this verse kind of singularly, but he's addressing their concerns, and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come, but if I depart, I will send him to you." All through Scripture, all through the Gospels, we see Jesus over and over and over again alluding to a promise of a gift. And the gift is the help, the empowerment, the aid of the Holy Spirit. And I believe what Matthew chapter 11 is saying is, if you will come to me, if you will come to me, I will give you rest through the empowerment, the motivation, the enabling, the leading, the guiding of my Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Just thought number one this morning, if you're taking notes, is that Jesus, he gives life in the Spirit. That the gift that Jesus promises in rest is not a spiritual vacation from walking in the ways that please him, but it is the wind at your back enabling and empowering you to follow him. A pretty obvious, in my opinion, and a dead giveaway to this is verse 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says this. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Look at the top of that verse. He says, "Take my yoke." And anytime in Scripture you see the word yoke, it is denoting slavery. Or it's painting this kind of a picture. Now, slavery obviously is not acceptable now, not something that we condone or look upon. In a lot of ways, our nation is still being redeemed from that kind of an evil past. But in this day, it's a different context, different cultural context. And so what he's saying is, you know, in slavery, how they have a yoke? Now, a yoke, let me explain this to you. It is a tool or an instrument that is used to lead and guide someone. So it is a wooden pole, if you will, with a U shape that would rest around someone's neck on their shoulders, and then there would be a metal clasp, a metal bar that would go all the way across so they couldn't get out of it, and it's what slave owners would use to lead or direct or guide those that were enslaved to them. Now, Jesus, notice what he says. He says, "Come to me, all you who are tired and weary and worn out, and I'll give you rest." And then he kind of makes a turn and he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Well, hold up, Jesus. Culturally, like, what are you saying? Well, let's think about this. What is the yoke of Jesus? What is the tool? What is the instrument? What is the prescribed method that Jesus uses to lead and guide and to direct our life? It is the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus is saying is, if you come to me, I will give rest for your soul through my Holy Spirit coming upon you that will lead and will guide and direct your every step, enabling you to be who I'm calling you to be and live the life I'm calling you to live, not out of tireless effort and work and routine, but from a restful place of enablement and empowerment and being led and being guided. Verse 29 in this collection is probably my favorite verse because Jesus makes a contrast and a comparison that maybe to you isn't encouraging, but to me is incredibly encouraging. Let me read it one more time. He says, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you," but he says, "and learn from me." Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Listen, "for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and with me you'll find rest for your souls." Verse 30, for good measure, he says, "My yoke is easy. The leading, the guiding of my Holy Spirit, it's easy. It's gentle. It's not demanding. It's not aggressive. It's gentle. It's easy." He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love verse 29 because Jesus, what you may not know, is he is contrasting the old way versus the new way. You know what he's saying? He's saying, in the old way, the only empowerment you had was you. And so your effort to please God and follow God and live up to his standards and do and be, and he said the only empowerment you had was you. You were the one motivating you. You were the one empowering you. You were the one enabling you. You were the one leading and guiding you, and that never worked. And so what would happen is the law would come. And every time the law came, because you are no match for you, the law would come and the law would look down upon you. And then the law would bring condemnation. And judgment. The law would remind you that you don't measure up. The law would remind you that you have faults and failures, and he says, but I need you to understand, with me, there's a new way. There's a new way that my Holy Spirit can be the one that enables and empowers and motivates and leads you. And listen to what he says. And he says, the law doesn't come, but I come. And I don't look down upon you like the law did. I don't overshadow you and remind you of your faults and your failures and where you missed it. He says, no, I'm lowly and gentle in heart. I come alongside you as one that encourages and speaks life and speaks vision and picks you up when you fall. The Bible says that he's the personification of grace, that he comes in and he provides the unearned, undeserved, unmerited love and blessing and favor. Jesus says the old way, it only led to being tired and weary, but the new way has come, and through your spirit, you can find rest for your souls. Can I ask you this morning, in your pursuit of following Jesus, what way are you living in? In your pursuit of following him, even though the new way has been provided, are you still in the old way? All right, Brent, I gotta be better. I gotta do better. I know I need to be a better dad. Why would you say, don't act like a baby? Like, he's 3 months old. Obviously, he's a baby. Like, you are so dumb. You know, the Bible says, like, be a good husband and a good father. And, like, are you in the old way, trying to motivate and empower and lead yourself, only to cyclically be reminded you're no match for you? Or have you found rest for your soul in Jesus? And coming to him, saying, God, I need help. Jesus, I come today, and I ask that you would help me and enable me. Are we living in the new way or the old way? Because I just think that maybe a litmus test, if you will, is your soul tired? Are you weary? Emotionally, let's just test, where are we today? Because a very good indication of whether or not I'm living in the way Jesus has provided is my soul at rest? Have I found rest for my, how do I do that, Brandon? How do I be led by the Holy Spirit? How do I come to Jesus? And within the instruction of Jesus is the answer. He says, come to me. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. If you're taking notes, you write this down, second thought this morning, simply this, that we do this through setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. Romans chapter 5, if you have a Bible, you can turn there with me. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8, not chapter 5. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Paul is writing, and Paul says this. Paul says, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And Paul is simply speaking matter of fact. Paul is giving a prescription to walking in the rest and ease of Jesus, but doing so by just stating the facts. Hey man, here's the reality. Those who are living empowered and motivated by their own flesh are those who are setting their mind on the things of the flesh. He says, you set your mind on the things of the flesh, and therefore you live according to the flesh. He says, but those who are living enabled and empowered and motivated by the Spirit of God are those who have set their mind on the things of the Spirit. What is he saying? He's saying the same thing Jesus said in John 3:6, that wherever you start is normally where you end. John 3:6, Jesus says, that which is flesh, that which is born in the flesh is flesh, but that which is birthed in the Spirit is spirit. In other words, if my starting place is setting all of my attention and all of my focus upon just the things of the, what are the things of the flesh? They're just the things that are there. The things that I desire, the things I'd rather look at, the things I'd rather think about, the things I'd rather do, it's you. Setting your mind on you. But Jesus said, that which is born in the Spirit is spirit. I was thinking about this verse, and I started thinking about it like, man, that's a tall order. Like, for my whole life? Like, and all the stuff like the Holy Spirit said to me, just think about it day by day. Just think about it one day at a time. I start thinking just one day at a time. So if I wake up and this is random, I'm making this up. This is not like my routine. And if it's your routine, no condemnation. But if I just wake up, And the first thing I do is grab my phone and just start scrolling Facebook. Check my Instagram, check my email. And I get up and I get in the shower and I get dressed and I go sit at the breakfast table and turn on SportsCenter, check the top 10. So excited, LeBron's a Laker. Praise God, championships are coming to the rafters. And I'm watching SportsCenter. And then I get in the car and, well, I gotta know what's going on. So I throw on talk radio and I'm listening to the news and I'm listening to this and that. And I get to work and I'm, why would I expect my life to be motivated and energized and filled with and led by the Spirit of God? No, I set at the onset my mind, my attention, and that which I put my mind and my attention on is that which directly is connected to what fills and energizes and motivates and directs my life. On the other hand, what if I woke up and instead of grabbing my phone, what if I just prayed for a minute? God, today I give you this day. God, help me today to be a better dad and a better husband. Help me today, God, to follow you, to be honoring and pleasing to you. God, I thank you that I will, and I just spend a minute praying. What happens if I get in the shower because I've heard that you sound better in the shower? What happens if I get in the shower and I just start singing a worship song? I love you. I start worshiping God. What happens if instead of turning on SportsCenter, I open up my Bible, and even if it's just the verse of the day on the Bible app, what if I just read one verse? And I think about that verse. I'm thinking about God's word. And then what if I get in the car instead of talk radio or Kiss 95.1 or whatever? What if I listen to a worship song or I put on a podcast? And what would happen if at the onset I set my mind on him? The Bible is pretty clear that what happens really without you recognize it is that you've invited the Holy Spirit to say, today, Holy Spirit, I set my mind on the things of God. And today I'm asking you that you would motivate, you would energize, and you would empower me, and you would lead me, and you would guide me. And do you know what happens? Before you know it, effortless effort. Before you know it, you have the wind of the Spirit at your back, propelling you forward into the ways that please God. We won't read this, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because the Spirit and flesh are contrary, and you cannot go both ways at once. And if you walk in the Spirit, before you know what happens? All of a sudden, you start being formed and molded into the image of Christ. All of a sudden, you don't recognize it, but you're changing. You talk different. You think different. You have a different perspective, a different attitude. All of a sudden, a coworker goes, hey, man, what's different with you? You've changed, and all of a sudden it hits you. I'm not even really trying. It's the wind of the Spirit at my back. He's helping me, he's motivating me, he's energizing me, and he's leading, and all of a sudden you begin to change. And it's not through striving and effort and work, and it's through the enablement and the empowerment, the rest that Jesus provides. Before you know it, you have rest for your soul. You write this down, third thought, and I'll close with this, but this life is what really brings life and peace. Point number three, this life is life and peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Paul says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's translate that real quick. To be carnally minded. Well, if I set my mind on the things of the flesh, I'm empowered. Okay, so to do this in my own effort and ability, it only leads to death. Again, maybe not physical death, but it only leads to this cycle of being tired and wore out and weary. And it says, but to be spiritually minded, translation, to step into the enablement and the empowerment of God's Spirit is life and it's peace. Do you know why it's life? Because the ways of God are life-giving. Because the ways of our God, they are not burdensome. The ways of our God are not rules and regulation, because God wants to manipulate and control. The ways of our God have been set in motion to bring life to the full. The ways of God are life-giving. The life we all desire, the life we all want, it comes through the ways and the will of God. God's ways are life-giving. What happens is before I know it, I'm with the wind of the Spirit at my back, I'm walking in the ways and the word and the will of God at ease and at a pace that is comfortable for my growth and for my journey. And before I know it, because I'm walking in the ways of God, life is beginning to blossom around me. My marriage is changing. My family's changing. And all of a sudden, life begins to blossom again. Life begins to come to full fruitfulness and peace. Peace, that something happens in my soul, that there's just an ease, there's a rest, and there's a peace. To be carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded, it's life and peace. I told you, I'm preaching this out of my own vulnerability, you know, out of my own weakness. That this is just opening up what my journal looks like right now. And I don't know about you, but I am so over myself. I'm so over depending on my own efforts and ability. Maybe you're not there, but can I just say that I'm in a place that I'm fully aware that I'm no match for me. I'm no match for this guy. And what I need more than ever before is I need the rest that Jesus offers. I need the rest for my soul that Jesus provides. Can I ask you this morning, where are you at? Do you still think that you can handle you? And do you still think that you are enough to live and do and be? And or would you join me this morning in saying, I need the empowerment and the help of God's Spirit? Because I'm telling you, if we would simply make a decision to come to Jesus, His promise is rest for your soul. Would you stand up on your feet this morning and can we close?
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, check us out on the web at lakeshorecf.com.